Para X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on the Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Gathering Radio Show here on the Para-X Radio Network. And we're excited to be here. And this is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie, and it's Tuesday on Thanksgiving week, which is fun.
Oh, my goodness. So excited I can't say anything.
Oh, you can't?
No, well, I just was tripping over my tongue already. Oh. So you know that's going to be an interesting show.
It happens. It happens. Goodness. At least my microphone wasn't off this time.
You know?
Oh my gosh. Something is always going on with us. But that's why our show is here. So fun. We never really know what's gonna happen. Oh my gosh. So what you got going on? You've been painting more this week, I hear.
I did. I painted my little heart out this week, and you know, I was talking with a like-minded house painter yesterday. She was in one of my classes, and I had mentioned that I had finished up some painting, and she said, do you like painting? And I said, I love it. I'm painting the inside of my house. Like, outside of the house, I'm probably not a fan, but, you know, the inside, painting different rooms, I love doing. I find it very zen, and I am probably not going to be the fastest painter, but I'm very good. I will say I'm very good. And I don't spill and I don't tape. I refuse to tape, but I don't spill and I'm very good. I don't, you know, it's good. I know how to do it. And I find it very zen. And when you get done, it's like fresh.
Yes.
You know, the energy is so fresh and the color is fresh. And I don't paint everything just white or taupe or gray. And if someone does, that's cool. I don't. And it felt so good because, you know, we moved in February and some of the house got painted and then it was summer. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what kind of AC action is happening. You just don't paint in the summer when it's humid.
You don't. Nope.
Right? I don't know anybody that thinks that's a good idea.
Never.
And it doesn't dry, you know, whatever.
No.
It takes forever. So we're back in the painting season, getting some painting done, and it feels good, and it's like an awesome workout. Up the ladder, down the ladder, on your knees, up your ladder. It's like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Oh, Karen said, same here, right? You're a zen painter too. I love it. I love painting.
It does feel good when it's done with. And yes, I need to get started. In fact, I thought I would start right down here in my studio because we painted half the wall a few years ago and half of it's not done yet. But it's that really rough. So it's textured, right? So it's like a stucco kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's hard to do.
You need those fatter, those texture brushes.
But I think I'll start there first and then
that's
I'll mosey on upstairs and do that because it's easier to paint down here. So, you know, here's the thing. If it's a mess, it's okay. You close the door and you just don't come downstairs for a while.
See, I kick it out. I'm done. Like if I'm starting, I'm done the next day. I don't care how big the room is. I'm done. There's no worrying about myself.
No, the painting will be done, but there's everything else might still be in a disarray down here. You know what I mean? And that's okay.
Doing
if it's
it all.
Here.
Yeah, I'm hard. I'm a zen hardcore painter. How does that even work?
I don't know.
I take everything away, I paint, and then I put everything back and it's done. It's like, and I just will go until I can't.
Yeah. I got to start. But, you're giving me inspiration. So this is a
good thing. I will cheer you on from afar.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Karen and I are in the same boat. She said she just finished painting a painting project as well. She said zen all the way. No spills, no taping.
Part of the problem is picking the color, right? I never know if I want to kind of keep the same color or do I want to paint something different, and I don't have all
those little swatches.
Oh, I do. And then it's like, I mean, I paint squares on the walls and think this one, that one. Oh, I can't decide.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I just find something and go.
Oh, my God.
I figure if I don't like it in a year or so, I can paint it again because I don't mind it.
Yeah.
But it's very zen. I do appreciate appreciate that.
Yeah.
That, you know, process of just going into the mode and.
I'm gonna do it.
So I've been in the Zen mode, Zen painting.
Well, where have you been up to? Well, we've been doing stuff. We had gutters put on our house yesterday, which was fabulous. You know, we had the new roof put on last year, and we forgot about having the gutters put on, and so we were going to do it this spring. And I don't know, this year went by so fast, right? And all of a sudden, here we are, and it's like we really need the gutters because I don't like it when the snows melt and then there's ice on the deck and ice on the steps and, you know, it's just a pain. So that's done. So that's good. So
it's a good time of year to get house stuff done here in Minnesota because we're not under like 5 feet of snow yet and it's not 30 below.
Yes.
Cause it's hard to do stuff. I mean, even if you're inside and tucked away, it's hard. It's a tough deal.
I know.
To be really like inspired and productive.
Yes. And then, you know, so I've been trying to do stuff down here too. Pretty soon it'll be a fantastic space. My little space is fantastic already, but you know, we got to work on that down there. So it's kind of throwing stuff away like the day before garbage. Okay, come on, let's go downstairs now. We're going to throw a bunch of stuff away because the garbage comes tomorrow, you know, because we're going through stuff and just getting rid of it. You know, it's good. So 20 some years of junk, you know, it's a lot to go through.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah. But hey, so we have a very special guest on our show tonight.
Yes, we do.
So we have Willow from the Calling Radio Show is on with us tonight. Hi, Willow.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, Willow.
How are you? Hi, Heidi.
Tell us how to pronounce your last name because I didn't even want to try.
It's Le Méchant.
Le Méchant. Yes. Willow Le Méchant is on the radio with us. Yeah, this is awesome. So Willow, like I said, Willow is on she's co-host on the Calling Radio with Jerry and Kimmy. And this is so fun. Willow does a lot of amazing things. So this is all about you tonight, Willow, and you're not the co-host. So
it's weird. It's weird.
You just get to talk about all the stuff you do.
I know. It's great. I love it. So tell us. Because some of our listeners do listen to you on The Calling. Just for a couple of minutes, and then we'll go into some more stuff.
Okay.
We lost you a little bit, Steph.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. You broke up for a little bit, so we kind of didn't hear what you said.
Is it me?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was. So what did you say?
Say it again, Steph. Oh, she's gone.
She's gone again.
I don't know. Maybe. Okay. I don't know where she, we can see her. We can't hear her. So maybe, how about this, Willow? Why don't you tell us a little bit about your history and, you know, a little bit about your background. I was reading your website and it looks like this all began and kicked off at a very young age, which I am totally familiar with. I felt a lot of similarities to our story. So I would love for you, if you could at least start by sharing, you know, a little bit of your background and how you came into the work you do, and then share some of the work you do if you could.
Okay, cool. I can do that. So I became a medium basically at about 2.5, 3 years old. They tell me that they had to revive me after anaphylactic shock from penicillin. So my mother said when she got me home, she started hearing me talking to people in my bedroom, and I was just not the same child that she had taken to the hospital basically. She said I had changed. And then, so as time progressed and I got a little bit older, I just was bombarded by spirits and I didn't know what to do. I was always terrified. My mother would not acknowledge that I was telling her the truth, of course. And then finally I realized I could tell them to leave me alone at about age 9. And that was a funny experience because I told them if they ever wanted to talk to me again and wanted me to hear them, they had to go show my mom that they were real. But she didn't tell me that they showed her. And so I guess because of that loophole, because she didn't admit that they were real to me, they left me alone. And so I learned at that point that I didn't have to listen to them or be bothered by them if I didn't want to be. And so I had a very nice and quiet time from about age 9 or so up until I was like 14, 15. And I really wanted to reach out to them again. I almost felt like I was missing them. And so I started reading tarot cards because my friends wanted me to go get a tarot reading. And I thought, well, there are spirits that do come to me, but I don't know what they want because I don't hear anything from them. So I started learning how to read the tarot cards so I could communicate. I used them as a focus tool. And that's how I started with tarot cards. I read tarot cards for about 14 years for the dead before I ever read it for the living. And but now I've been honing my skills a lot more as I got older. I started reading cards for other people when I was about 29. After I had 4 kids, I felt I had enough life experience to help the living at that point. And then, you know, I just started doing a lot more stuff. You know, it's like, as you immerse yourself in your gifts, you find that you have more of them than you knew you had. And so, you know, then it was clairaudient and clairsentient, and then I could see them, and I, you know, and all kinds of things started to really happen for me. I started helping others. I got into healing work. So here I am today doing kind of all of it in a big, huge, you know, conglomeration of healing work, helping people, guiding them as a spiritual advisor, life coaching, marrying people. I do weddings in character, and I take people on paranormal investigations because I love the equipment, because now people can hear and maybe experience some of the things that I always experience. And I just wanted to share that with them. So that's kind of what I do now. Yeah.
Yeah. You do a lot. You do a lot. And you're a radio show co-host.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that part. I'm supposed to plug the show every 15 minutes, according to Jerry. How's that, Jerry? Don't forget, tomorrow night, we're going to have a repeat show because it's a holiday.
Which one are they repeating?
Old souls versus new souls or young souls. Oh, yeah.
That'll be a good one for sure.
It was good. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. So what is your, so you do so many different things. What is your favorite thing that you do?
The favorite part of what I do is anytime I can help someone else. If I feel like I have helped somebody, whether it's, you know, helped them with life coaching and got them on the right track, or, you know, motivated them some way, or been able to do a healing on them and cleared them or whatever, as long as I can see that I've made a difference, that's the favorite part.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. And when you do Reiki healings, you talk to our spirit guides and other spirits as well, correct?
Yes.
So it's strictly energy. It's a whole bunch of other.
Right. Yeah. When somebody comes to me for a healing session, I sit down with them first. We connect with their guides and any other spirits that come in, because there could be attachments, there could be past things that we need to work on healing. So I kind of do this as an overview first, mm-hmm. before we actually get on the table and start doing the healing work.
Mm-hmm. And that totally makes sense.
Yeah. Helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of parallels with the work that we do. I think we're kindred spirits in the our stories and our work that we do. It's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool. I'm curious, what do you find is what's your common misconception that you hear around the work you do, that people might think about the work you do, or, you know, whatever? What's a common misconception you run into?
Because of where I'm at, immediately people think that I'm in cahoots with the devil. Mm-hmm. That's number one, which I'm like, well, number one, I don't cahoot with anybody. Mm-hmm. And two, I'm sorry, but the devil isn't part of my construct. I'm not a Christian. So therefore, no, I don't do that. So I run into that a lot in New Orleans because we do have a lot of people that will protest around Mardi Gras and any kind of thing. So we have that. But a lot of people will just automatically think that it's using negative energy and it's not, you know? And so I try to dispel that, and I dispel it by education. The only way you can get somebody to not fear something is to educate them on it. Because we fear what we don't understand.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true.
So that's the biggest misconception, I think. And they automatically think everything I do is voodoo because I'm in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. Well, and as you know, we had Jezebel on a few weeks ago talking all about voodoo. And she was you gave me her contact information. So thank you, because that was a really good show. Yeah. So it was good. It was fabulous. Yeah.
Well, she taught me a lot. Yeah. So, yeah.
I bet she did. Yeah, I can see that for sure. So we have a question in the chat room. So Rain is asking, when using tarot cards, do you want the person being focused to touch the cards, or is that not important to you?
To me, it is not important. And the reason being of that is I shuffle the cards now due to COVID. I used to let the client shuffle the cards. Now I just shuffle the cards, got all new decks. I'm the only one that touches them. But it doesn't matter for me, because just as I would do a virtual reading through Skype or FaceTime or even the phone, I'm going to shuffle those cards anyway. Mm-hmm. And because my guides, my spirit guides, my higher beings that are around me connect with their beings that are around them. Then I get the messages. So it really doesn't matter. The cards for me are just a focus tool.
Cool.
Yeah. And that makes sense because, again, you know, even with energy work, we could be sitting next to someone, we could be touching them, or we could be four states away from them. It's still going to work. It's still going to happen. So you don't need to be in contact or physical touch with any of it to have it work, to have it channel, to have the, you know, intention be set, you know, any of that.
Yeah. I do healings for people in England. So, you know, it's like, it doesn't bother me where you're at. The energy is going to go where it is needed, because we are all, you know, we're multidimensional beings having this human experience. We are everywhere. We just, most people don't understand that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's tough to wrap your mind around it sometimes, you know, when you think about it. So,
yeah.
Cool. So here's another question.
Yeah.
Since you're in New Orleans, how often are you mistaken for some type of voodoo shaman or something? I think that kind of goes with what you just answered, but we'll let you answer it again.
Once in a while. I mean, I don't dress like I practice, you know, I don't wear a scarf on my head. I don't do anything that would make me look like a practicing voodoo practitioner. Mm-hmm. I dress pretty normal. Well, as normal as I am, you know, I'm always different, but I just wear regular street clothes. I do sometimes dress up in maybe a steampunk jacket or something unusual. If it's cold, you know, I'm going to stay warm, but it's mostly for function. As long as you're clean and you got your makeup on, you're all right.
That's right.
But I don't generally get mistaken regularly. I have once in a while had somebody go, ooh, I'm staying away from that. That's voodoo. And I'm like, sorry, I'm not doing that here. But okay, have a nice night, you know.
And voodoo is so misunderstood. Before we had Jezebel on, I really knew nothing about it. And it was a listener topic. You know, they said, get somebody on to talk about voodoo. And, you know, people do fear voodoo. I didn't know anything about it. I was kind of scared of it, too. But really, it's not what it's made out to be.
No, it's not at all. It's a very beautiful religion.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. That's so we've heard. So, yeah. So, no, it's not like these dark, you know, crazy that they show on TV and whatever in the movies and stuff. It's really something totally different. You know? So it's very cool.
Yeah. It's even like tarot cards in the movies. I mean, if you think about it, somebody sits down for their first tarot reading, right? And the first thing they're like, please don't pull the death card. Please don't pull the death card. And I'm like, you don't like change and transition?
Yeah, right. Because people are taught to think if you get the death card, you're going to die. you know?
Yeah. You're going to die. Somebody close to you is going to die. And that's not it, you know? I mean, sure, sometimes maybe that is a transition that's popping up, but that's not generally what that means. And I try to explain to them, your guides will not tell me when you're going to die.
No.
Mm-mm. You have to live your life lessons. And if I gave you the date and the time of when you're going to check out, you would not complete your lessons.
Yep. Yeah. It totally changes the path.
Yeah, I can't do that. So we don't do that. Mm-hmm. And so that's the one thing that always people ask. Are you going to tell me when I'm going to die? Nope. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't have that information.
We don't even want to know.
No.
And I always say that we're fated anyway. You know, our lives are, you know, we're born. Our death date is there, you know, and there's nothing you can do about it. You just, so have a good time every day because tomorrow it might be it, you know.
You never know.
So Rain in the chat room is saying he has yet to see anyone really use a crystal ball. Do you use crystal balls?
No, the funny thing is,
I see one behind you.
I have one.
Yes.
Okay. But I have it because it's a prop.
Oh,
okay. I have it because I was the Fortune Beer girl.
Oh.
For Fortune Beer when it came out from Miller Coors. And we ran around to several cities and I had my crystal ball because they wanted to have a crystal ball. And literally, I never used it. I brought the tarot cards out. We just sat that thing in the middle of the table.
Oh, funny.
And it's heavy. That thing is like 40 pounds. It is not light. It's a huge crystal ball.
Yeah. And does it have good energy?
It's just glass.
Well, because Heidi has one that is like, oh, my God, you feel this, girl.
Oh, no. I used to have small ones that are really powerful.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't read it. I didn't use it for scrying.
Right. Yeah. Well, Heidi has one that's just amazing. You can feel it
huge.
When you're in the building almost.
Yeah.
You know, energy just kind of hits you. You know, and this ball wants to be in the middle of the table, and Heidi refuses to put it in the middle of the table. And every time I go to the studio, I say, Heidi, put that girl in the middle of the table. And Heidi keeps saying, no. She's not going in the middle of the table.
She wants to be there. She's huge, too. So, you know, anything that you probably have that has a lot of energy, it's times 1,000 in size when the energy is really big. So it's already a crystal ball the size of a bowling ball, and it's crystal, you know. And then it's the energy. It's like you can't even see around her, even though she, you know, doesn't come up that high. I'm like, I'm not putting her in the middle of the table. I'm not getting anything done because she is so like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
so, yeah. And then everybody wants to touch it. Does everybody want to touch the crystal ball? And you're like, don't touch it.
No.
Don't touch. Don't touch. Want you touching it. Don't pick her up. Like, don't touch it.
Right. Yeah. But spheres are like that. No matter what the sphere is made of, it magnifies it into the whole room space. Mm-hmm. So it's very important that you choose where you put those.
Yes. 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 Mm-hmm. It
no
is
matter
true.
Where they want to go, you have to be in control.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
You can't let your stuff run you or it's going to be madness and chaos.
Yep.
It's true. Yeah. So,
Jerry has a question in the chat room here for you. Other than doing readings, do people come to you about paranormal questions?
Oh, yeah, a lot. They will come to me because they have something going on in their home and they're not sure if it's paranormal or if it's just, you know, the house settling or whatever. So they do come to me. They will have me do psychometry on objects they think might be haunted. So I have a lot of that, you know, a lot of people will come to me and it might just come up in the middle of a reading. You know, it's like, well, you know, I give people like 3 questions for the next 12 to 18 months at the end of the reading that I do out in Jackson Square. And they will ask me, well, for one of mine, I'd like to know if my house is actually haunted, you know. Well, I can tell them because I can either see there's a spirit near them or, and they don't really connect to them, but they do, you know, and I'll, you might have somebody there and I'll talk to them. Well, what's been going on? Mm-hmm. And then I'll pull some cards, you know, and I'm asking my guides, is this for real? Is there something we can do? And I've had people that needed to clear their houses.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that it's been a really bad kind of situation. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do you help with that as part of what you do?
Yes. If I'm not, you know, if it's local, of course.
Yes, yes.
And if it's not, what I have are clearing kits mm-hmm. with directions so that they can clear their homes, mm-hmm. at least temporarily till they can get somebody in there to help them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Gosh, you know, we're just going crazy in the chat room here.
So we have another question.
Yeah.
Rain in the chat room is saying, what kind of haunted objects have you encountered?
Oh, well, I collect them for one. So I have dolls and clocks and mirrors.
Dolls.
I love my dolls. I have.
Yay.
Who I have now? One, two, three. I have five dolls right now. But yeah, I kind of find them in thrift shops and whatever. And I just, well, let's talk. Let's see if I like your spirit and if I'm going to take you home or not.
Nice.
So yeah.
I love it.
But yeah, but I have my own seance room. So that's where all these haunted things are at.
Oh. Yeah.
So you don't have them all over your house. You have them contained somewhere.
Yes. This room actually has a protection around this room that I'm in right now, but mm-hmm. it is the seance room. And so everything that's haunted in my house is in this room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have two portal mirrors. I have them on opposite sides of the room that, yeah.
And there's one right behind you over there too.
That's one. Yeah.
I keep my eyeball on it when we've been talking.
Waiting for something to ooze in.
Well, you know, because here's stuff. I have one mirror in my whole house on the wall besides this one that's behind this area over here in the basement. But I don't do mirrors because I know what can come out of those mirrors.
I cover mine in the bedroom. When I moved in, there's glass of mirror doors on my bedroom closet, and I covered it. I leave it open and covered. Yeah. Because I can't have that at the end of my bed. I can't sleep.
Oh, God, no. No. And dolls, and I don't do dolls either. There's no dolls in my house. There's one, Bullhead. I should go get her on break so you guys can see Bullhead.
Oh, but totally.
But she's the only one. She's the only doll that we have in our house. Oh, my gosh.
I'm curious about your haunted things. Do they ever, you have protections up, but do they ever do anything in the room?
I have done, it's pretty funny. I've done videos for YouTube in this room thinking, oh, it'll be really nice to set it up and they'll have orbs going through the video. I'm like, you got to upstage me every time. What the heck? Right. but I hear things in here a lot, you know, it's like I have rain sticks, native rain sticks, and I'll be in the other bedroom out of this room. And the cats are all in there with me, and we'll hear the rain stick get turned up the other direction and go, shh.
Nice.
And I'll come back in here and go, all right, stop playing with the rain stick. What do you want? You know? So, yeah, I try to contain it in here. There are some that'll come out. But for the most part, I have house spirits that are allowed to stay, and I don't kick them out. They all get along pretty well. The cats play with them and things like that. I've had one that did not like cats. I had to evict her. Her name was Lucy, and she was just horrible. She kept opening my front doors and my back doors to let the cats out.
Oh, no. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a falling out.
Oh, yeah,
she got kicked to the curb. She got kicked to the curb. She tried to sneak in during a seance. I'm like, you're out of here. I told you to leave. We're done.
Get out. So you talked about a rain stick. I don't know what a rain stick is. Kat's saying that she has a rain stick too. So what is a rain stick?
It's made of a type of cactus, I believe it is, that gets, they dry it out and the seeds within it make the sound.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So it actually sounds like rain when you turn it.
Yeah.
The seeds fall to the one end, and it sounds kind of like rain. It's really cool.
It's beautiful, yeah.
That's awesome. I like that. Oh, my gosh. Let's see what else.
Okay, we have other questions, but maybe we should take a break.
We do. Yeah, it's the half hour. Everyone, stay tuned. We will be back in 2 minutes. This is The Gathering Radio Show on the Para X Radio Network.
You've no doubt heard of Tango and Cash, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Perhaps it takes two to tango. Well, now, on the first and third Thursdays of each month, there's a show called Tango and Friends at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network with your host, Bruce Tango. And yes, there will be at least two to tango on each episode, sometimes even more. There's going to be lots of topics and lots of guests you'll all know and lots of surprises. Tango and Friends, every first and third Thursday of the month at 8 p.m. right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
If you're looking for a truly unique podcast experience, we have you covered. Spirit Bayou with CJ Dunham airs live from the Third Coast in Southeast Texas on Tuesday and Fridays at midnight Eastern Time, covering Creole folklore and folk magic to strange paranormal activity to new equipment for the field. CJ Dunham is a Catholic swamp witch, a devotee to our Mother Mary in the Trinity, a true believer in our Lord, the Holy Ghost, and Christ. Peace be with your spirit and the spirits by you.
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network. And we're having a whole bunch of fun here talking about all things haunted and paranormal. And we have Willow from the Gathering, or not the Gathering, sorry. Now we're calling our show your show and your show our show. From The Calling, which is on Wednesday nights here on the Para-X Network. So welcome, Willow. And excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here. Yeah.
Stephanie and Willow are exchanging doll images through Skype here on our break. And
I know.
Stephanie, I think you need to make yours look more like scary. Like, doctor that thing up.
She's pretty scary as she is, I think. I don't know. But I'm just not a doll kind of gal, as everybody, all of our chat room people know too. But yeah, she is the only doll in our house. And like I said, she used to be, I think it was probably Casey's only baby doll. And so she has just lived her life down here in the lower level. And like I said, I don't think anybody's looked at her for a while. But I knew exactly where she was. So I'm going to try to get her, put her up on the chat room because she is pretty funny. But anyway, so we can move on. Let's move on. Let me Haunted see if I dolls. Can get this. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I'm just not a doll person. You know, I got to do a shout out, though, to Karen. It's her birthday today. So happy birthday to Karen.
Oh, yes. Happy birthday, Karen.
Yes. Rain says he was thinking of getting a Baby Yoda. Listen, my house is full of Baby Yodas, Rain, because Casey is a Baby Yoda freak. She's got about 20 Baby Yodas. I'm not kidding you. She's got one that walks and talks, and she's got one that just kind of makes cooing noises, and then we have one that we brought with us on vacation last time and took Baby Yoda's picture everywhere on the island, and yeah, he's fun. He's fun. We love Baby Yoda. But anyhow, all right, enough with the dolls. Sorry.
I have a question. So Willow, you're in New Orleans, but have you always lived there? Did you grow up there or did you move there? Because when I was there, I found a lot of people moved there. It was hard to find people that grew up there. And so I'm curious, are you native or did you move in?
I moved here a decade ago. I have been here literally. I had been drawn here actually since I was a child. And I know that's weird. I'd never visited. But when I was five, and okay, this is kind of a spooky kind of story, because as you know, I was a medium at that age. And at about age five, the skeleton people came and invited me to join them. And that was the scariest thing. And I never, you know, forgot about that situation, but I didn't connect what that meant until I got here in New Orleans. So I think I've been being called to the city for a very long time. And the skeleton people, to just give you a brief overview of what I meant, is it's like the voodoo Loa. Because if you look at like Baron Samedi, Maman Brigitte, they are in the form of skeletons. Mm-hmm. And so what I ended up with was Papa Legba and Urzuli Freda, and they were all dressed according to what they represented. Papa Legba was in his bibbed overalls and his straw hat, and Urzuli Freda with her beautiful pink hat and pink dress. She loves pink. And that's how they showed themselves to me. They were having a party and they wanted me to join them. And I was sleeping between my parents when I saw this image, when they came to me. And I woke my mom up and I said, "They're skeletons and they want me to join them." And she's like, "Go to sleep. It's just a dream." So I closed my eyes and I put the blanket over my head and I thought, "I'm going to see if they're still there." And I looked up and they were all still there. They hadn't left. And so I finally just went to sleep with the blanket over my head. But when I moved here 10 years ago, I realized that I had been on this journey for a very long time to come here. I think it's a past life, and that's why I was being pulled here. When 1996 came around, I almost moved here. I was dating somebody that wanted me to move here with them, and we broke up, so I didn't get that opportunity in 1996. Then I got married in 2001, and I thought, I'm going to finally get to New Orleans. I'm going to go. Instead, we go to Canada. I'm like, it's the wrong direction. Wrong direction. So I've lived everywhere from Mexico to Canada, from one coast to the other. And in 2009, I was in Canada. I came back to the States, and I ended up moving to Florida. I'm like, no, I wanted to go to New Orleans. And here I now am in Panama City Beach, Florida, not where I wanted to be. But then the BP oil spill happened.
Oh.
And everything got closed up in Panama City Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I took the money that BP paid me for losing my job, and I bought a van, loaded it up with everything I owned. My husband at the time wanted to go to Key West. I said, I'm going to New Orleans. My money, my van, I'm going to New Orleans. And that's where we went. And that was in 2010. And I've loved it. It's just, the minute I stepped out of the car, or the van, I knew I was home finally.
And cool.
It's really amazing because since I've been here, it's kind of like I found more gifts. Like, I didn't know I could do psychometry. Mm. And I do that. I walked into a building and just leaned on the wall and I saw everything that had been going on from 300 years.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? You know? Picked up a canteen from the Civil War and I was in the middle of a battle.
So
these are weird things that I didn't know I could do, but it's like all of this stuff started happening. So yes, I've trained in voodoo or learned about voodoo and trained myself as best I can. And Jezebel has taught me a lot. Mm-hmm. But so yes, I have voodoo altars in my home. And yes, because the energy is the strongest with voodoo here. Mm-hmm. So I work with whatever energy in the location that I'm at is the strongest. So yes, I am a transplant in this lifetime, but I think originally I was here.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That's cool. So when you moved there in your van with your stuff and you said, husband wanted to go here, I went here. Did he come with you?
He did.
Okay.
We are now, thank God, not together.
Got it. Okay.
Yes. No, long story short, a lot of domestic violence.
Oh,
he got kicked to the curb after strangling me. And that was it.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. And that's actually when voodoo kicked in.
Yes.
Because Jezebel came to me and she goes, Urzuli Dontor wants to work with you. And I didn't know anything about it. I really hadn't studied anything. And all of a sudden I look at her and I went, Mama Dontor wants me to work with her. She goes, I thought you didn't know anything about voodoo. I said, well, I don't know why I just called her mama.
Mm.
Because when she works with you, you become her child.
Oh.
And so she was actually the first altar that I assembled. She protects women and children from men that would harm them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh,
so I tattooed her Veve on my left ankle.
Oh.
And yeah, so I carry her with me everywhere.
Good.
Wow. Wow. You've had quite the life. You've had a lot of experiences. Yeah.
I know. People tell me, you should write a book. I said, I don't think anybody wants to read War and Peace because it would be that.
But now you're in a good place and you're in Zen and you're in the place you need to be in.
Totally.
It's just phenomenal.
Yeah. It was like I woke up and was reborn in 2013 here. It just, it's what happened. Yeah.
And I know I heard you once talk about a building that you were going to set up shop in, and it was, tell us about that, because that's a really interesting story.
That was a crazy building. I still miss that rundown building because I miss the spirits I left behind there. I moved in there in 2014, August, September 2014, August, and it was 6,000 square feet. It was built in 1829, so it had been around for a while. And, you know, it was built like not that many years after the fires that we had here in 1788 and 1794. So here it is, 1829, this beautiful building is built. Originally, it was a couple of townhouses. They opened it all up in, when was that? Like in the 70s, I think. They opened it up to make it one large building, and it became Rock Hudson and his partner turned it into Jonathan's five-star restaurant. And all of the famous people would go and have dinner, and it was just gorgeous. I have photos of what this place was in its heyday, gorgeous place. Over the years, it had become a voodoo temple for a while. And then it became the Funky Butt Jazz Club. So all these great jazz musicians played in this place too.
Yeah.
And there, but at the same time, the place was so haunted when I got it. Oh, excuse me.
A lot of different energies in there. Holy cow.
It was crazy. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was, I moved in and I started having nightmares, and I'm like weird, like non-human entities holding me down in my bed. And I'm waking up to this non-human scream. And all I see is this mouth open up of screaming. I'm like, okay, we got issues. My cats would not leave my bed.
Yeah.
Okay. So I got up, I put a circle of salt around the bed. We got back in the bed and they stayed there all night.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day I contacted Jez and I said, we need to fix this.
No kidding,
I'd
right?
Say.
We need to fix this. And so we found this voodoo doll when we were clearing out the place and doing our demo work behind one of the coolers from the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the ugliest doll I've ever seen, and I touched it and I could tell there was human remains in it. I just knew it had, it was human death. I could feel it just emanating from it. And I realized that that energy was the same that was attacking me.
Oh.
And so Jez says, take it out of the building, get it out of the building. I said, okay. Yeah. So I put it in the courtyard because I'm like, where am I going to put it? You know?
Yeah.
So finally I ended up burying it in a local sacred location. I can't give you the place, but anyway, we buried it and we doused it with holy water and Florida water, and we buried it and I salted that earth around it to stop the energies. But there was still so much that had been opened up there that we had to do a full rite of exorcism on the building from the top to the bottom.
Wow.
To get that out. And we, at that time, I got scratched, choked, you name it. They were attacking us the full time we were trying to do this.
Wow.
We kicked out at least 8 really nasty things that were in that building. What I was left with were kind, caring spirits that had been just terrified of these things that had been, you know, in control. And we fixed that. And they were beautiful, you know. We had musicians in there, and we had some slaves that were in there because it was right across from Congo Square where all the slaves would meet on the weekends.
Oh, sure.
for 300 years, you know?
Yeah. Wow, there's so much history in New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
Because it's just so old. It's so old there.
It was amazing. I'd open up my balcony doors and listen to the drumming, the slave drumming on Sundays.
Oh,
it was great.
Gosh.
And of course, that was where their club was. So that was beautiful acoustics on that second floor.
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
So how long did you live there? And did you have a shop there too? You had a shop there too, right?
No, we couldn't open the shop because we found out it had so bad of plumbing and the electrical was bad. And the landlord at the time would not fix anything.
Yeah.
The building was literally falling down.
Oh, dear.
And it was not safe to be there. So we were only in there about 4 or 5 months and packed up and left. Yeah.
Oh, man. And is it still empty?
Yeah. It's still empty. Nobody can fix it because, I mean, it would need probably minimum $200,000 to fix it.
What?
It's a large. Yeah. It's a large building. 3 floors, 6,000 square feet. Huge, massive building. None of the plumbing on the third floor works. Nothing on the second floor works.
Oh, wow. Well, and if it was built in the early 1800s, I mean.
Yeah.
And wasn't there a fire there or something, too?
That's
it. Did you talk about the fire?
Well, when I first got in there, when I was inspecting it to decide if I was going to rent it, everybody was walking around. And, of course, I'm listening to the spirits in the building because that's what I do. And I went up into the stairwell from the first floor to the second floor. And at the landing, there were 2 glass cases, one with a clarinet and one with a saxophone. And I felt one of the musicians that were attached to one of those instruments. Actually, there were both of them had an attachment. One had a younger man. One had an older man. And the older man, I could hear him whisper in my ear, "Be careful of the fire. Be careful of the fire." And I'm like, wait a minute. That was in 1788 and 1794.
Yeah.
How is that, you know, bothering this building? And I'm like, I don't think this building ever was in a fire. So I thought, well, you know what? I had my contractor walking around to give me some ideas of how much it might cost to fix things. I said, can you check the attic?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, yeah, I was just about ready to do that. I said, see if there's been a fire. Because nothing else. And there had been all this charred wood. They had replaced a lot of the beams in the ceiling. So, yes, there had been a fire.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Craziness. Well, I hope they don't tear it down, though. You know, I hope somebody puts the money into it and does something with it. You know?
Because it was gorgeous. It was absolutely gorgeous in its heyday.
Yeah.
There was like this open area from the first floor through up to the second floor that was this beautiful stained glass, beautiful, like all lit up, you know, and it had beautiful, like a balcony kind of thing around it. It was just this gorgeous building.
Yeah.
And then they just let it go into disrepair.
Oh,
it makes me so sad. And it's sad after Katrina and it had flooded. So that was a lot of the problem too. There was too much black mold in it.
Oh for sure.
And I couldn't even, I think I have issues from that.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, well, gosh, that's craziness.
Yeah.
So do you have a location now that you work out of, or where do you do your work?
My front room in my house is designated to my reading and my healing room.
Okay.
So yeah, I made sure I rented a home that's big enough for me and my businesses, and it works. When I do paranormal investigations, I take a lot of people to the cemeteries here.
I saw that on your website.
And then I bring them back here and we do a seance so that we can, you know, connect with their deceased loved ones. So yeah, it's a full evening of fun and paranormal stuff.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it. Seances can be crazy. We actually, Heidi and I have done a few seances on the radio. It doesn't bode well, I think, for radio, but we did.
Yeah.
So we did it on Facebook Live too, you know,
from
our Facebook page, and shut off the sound so they'd have to listen to the radio. So, and that was fun. But I know we've talked about doing this again, Heidi, but then COVID hit, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, doing one and then like doing a live show and then just do some bits and pieces of what happens.
Highlights.
You know, yeah, because we'll tape it, you know?
Oh, but yeah.
It's, yeah, no.
Yeah, sitting quietly and waiting for spirit to talk doesn't work for radio.
No.
Not really, no. Too much dead air.
You know, you can't make them dance on command, right?
It's
so
true.
You have to wait and see if they want to talk.
Yeah, and we've done crazy things like that game, you know, where somebody, you put fingers under somebody.
Light as a feather, stiff as a board.
Light as a feather, stiff as a board. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, it almost worked, too, a couple times, you know? So, yeah. So we've had some crazy things that, like I said, don't really go so well with radio stuff, but, you know, it's been fun. It's fun. You got to do
a TV show.
I know, right? Oh, my gosh. Well, so what are you, what are you doing right now? So you have, so you do readings, you do Reiki healings, you do the radio show, you do seances. That's a lot of stuff, Willow, actually.
And for fun, I garden.
And for fun, you garden.
Cool.
And take care of the neighbor cats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right now I'm doing mostly virtual readings only because of COVID.
Yes.
And because, you know, the state just got shut down again today. Yeah. We went from phase three down to phase two. And I'm like, So it's not like there was anybody out there, you know, this last weekend anyway. There was like nobody in Jackson Square or in the French Quarter. So I'm like, okay, you know, it's like, but I do a lot of virtual readings, you know. Most of my clients are phone, FaceTime, Skype. And they like that, you know, they don't have to travel here. They get me, you know, one way or another. So, yeah.
So if people want to get a hold of you, they can find you on Facebook under Willow LeMichant. Say it again.
Willow LeMichant Spiritual
Willow
Services.
Willow LeMichant Spiritual Services. I'm going to put down her website here on the chat room too. So they can get a hold of you either place, correct?
Right. Yep, willowlemichant.com or on Facebook. I'm also on Instagram at willowlemichant. So multiple ways to find me.
So Rain is saying if Willow has a shop or something to send the information, he doesn't have Facebook. Okay, Rain, but I did put her her website on here, and she's also on Instagram. And you can also get a hold of her through the Calling Radio Show on Wednesday evenings. So a lot of different places. Visit and, you know, have a reading or two or some Reiki healing or, you know, all that kind of stuff. So,
and right now I'm offering gift certificates for the holidays too. So
awesome. You know, awesome. Yeah. And you teach Reiki too, right?
Yes, I do. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So yeah, you and Heidi do have a lot of parallels. You guys do a lot of the same things actually.
Yeah.
You know, it's awesome. So Heidi, do you must have some questions. I know I've been kind of hogging the conversation again.
No, that's okay. I mean, I'm listening because I love hearing someone that has so many of the same experiences. I think it's great. I'm curious as to, you know, if you're doing anything down the road, anything new coming up or anything that you want to venture out into that you haven't started yet. I'm curious if there's anything out there, kind of still in the shadows yet.
Well, yeah, actually, this was supposed to be my year of spiritual travel. Mm-hmm. Well, we know how that worked.
Yes.
It didn't happen, right?
Maybe they meant you're traveling spiritually.
Oh,
well, yeah.
I know. I'm trying.
Yeah. I'm trying. But I'm hoping that if, you know, COVID kind of settles down and I can travel next year, the plan is to maybe do some speaking engagements, do some guest appearances for readings in different spiritual locations. I also want to go and do some investigating in some haunted cemeteries and other locations in multiple places. All of that has been kind of like put on the back burner for this year, but that was the plan. And so I'm hoping, because I'd like to set up some paranormal investigations, mm-hmm. like, and invite people to join in, and, you know, we'll all book rooms at this certain spot and we'll investigate.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to do that. And here I am
stuck in New Orleans,
stuck in my haunted city, You know, I guess it could be worse. I could be stuck in the middle of nowhere.
And that's right.
At least I have New Orleans.
That's right.
There you go.
You do. Yeah, so everybody's talking about Karen says she can't wait to go back to New Orleans. I've never been there. I sure would like to come down there at some point.
It was nice going there.
Yeah.
We could rent a very haunted hotel and just
happy fun.
Do an investigation. I did one at the Provincial Hotel. Ooh, that was a French military hospital in the 1700s. That place is really active.
Oh, nice. Willow, you set it up and we will come. You know? That would be cool. That would be just obscene, really. You know, it would be so fun. You should do it. That would be fun. Maybe get a couple of different places and then we can come down for, you know, more than just a couple days, you know?
Totally.
And, you know, run into some vampires and stuff. Do you believe in vampires? You do, don't you?
Well, I am part of the community.
Yeah.
I am not a practicing member of the community of vampires right now.
Right.
That is the old me.
Yeah.
But yes, they are real. I do not drink blood. None of my friends drink blood. So, yeah. More energy work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there's, you know, that's where Anne Rice bases all her novels, right? And then there's the vampire with that. Yeah. I couldn't even read it. Yeah. It scared me to my toes. I read like, I don't know, a few chapters and that was enough.
Oh, wow.
And it was she wrote that other one. What was that other book that she wrote too? Scared me. I gave it away. I didn't even want it in my house. I'm like,
I read every single book she's ever written. I was in a cabin up in Canada off grid reading them in kerosene light.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
It's
just, that's hardcore. Yeah.
There are just some things I don't need to know about. And Heidi knows how this goes because Jerry had given me a box once and it was a beautiful box. It had this beautiful snowy owl on it, you know, and he was so excited. We got it in the mail and I'm like, oh, it's beautiful. And I'm like, but it doesn't feel right. And I didn't say anything at first. Right. You know, I'm like, there's just something going on with this box. And I opened up the lid and there was like a mirror in there. And although I didn't see anything in the mirror, I was like, I shut it really quick. And I put it out on the porch and I said, we can't have this in the house. There's something going on with this. I don't want it anywhere near me. And so I called Heidi and I said, Heidi, will you take this box? And she said, yes. I said, okay, I'm going and putting it in the mail right now. I just still have it. You put it out in the Halloween when you have your Halloween open house events.
Yeah. I had to clear it. First of all, I've never gotten anything in the mail that fast before. She's like called me. And I was like, yeah, send it. And I turn around and it's like sitting there. I'm like, what? How did it get here that fast? And I had to take it out of my studio to clear it because I could feel something was with. And it was funny because I took it out and I saw the owl. I'm like, okay, something's not right. And when I opened the lid, I saw a man behind me in the mirror coming up, like walking like the guy from the Terminator. You know, that like determined, like, I'm coming to get you walk and nothing will stand in my way. And I was like, ooh, and quick, like did a clearing on it and closed it up because I'm like, here he comes. He's coming for me. I got to do this. Yeah, it was.
Oh, wow.
It was intense.
Yeah.
But I have it now. Yes, I still have it because it's a cool box and it has a
beautiful.
Cool story.
It's a snowy owl. It's a beauty. And you know how I love owls. So it was hard for me to get rid of it. But I was just like, I don't want to deal with this, you know. So anyway. Well, crap, Karen says, I can't believe you let that go. Well, it is 8:59. Oh, my gosh, this hour went by so fast, Willow. Oh, will you come back again at some point when, you know?
Of course.
Maybe we'll all be live in New Orleans at some point. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be fun.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks, Willow, for joining us tonight. It was so fun. Don't forget to listen to the Calling radio show tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. They're going to talk about old souls and new souls. And this was so fun, Heidi.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And I want to give a shout out to everybody in the chat room, everybody listening, wherever you're at. Thank you so much for joining us. And Para X for hosting us. We always appreciate this awesome spot. And Sarge, our amazing, very cool, awesome producer, the best in the biz. Thank you so much as well. And Yeah, this has been another fun show.
Yeah, and thanks to the troops for listening, if you're listening. Thanks so much for your service, and be safe.
Yes.
And we didn't hear either of your cats, Willow.
We did. Just heard one.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Maurice, my big Russian blue. He just had to come over and chat.
I know Zoe was down here. I was hoping she'd make an appearance, but nope, she went back upstairs. So, all right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we will see you next week with the paranormal smorgasbord.